It's Thursday, May 18th, 2006. You're moving at the speed of creativity with Wesley Fryer, narrowcasting from Lubbock, Texas. Hello, good evening, and welcome to another podcast of Moving at the Speed of Creativity. My name is Wesley Fryer, and I'm an educator in Lubbock, Texas. Still, if you're interested, hunting for jobs, but hopefully getting close to learning what the next season of life is going to hold for me and for my family. I want to thank you for tuning in to this podcast and just reflect that it is astounding that we are able in this day and age to engage in conversations with each other completely independent of time and space. I was listening to my friend Miguel Gulen's podcast from a week or so ago where he was talking about being powerful beyond words. And it was just like Miguel was sitting there talking to me, and I just was struck by how amazing it is that we can have these relationships and interactions which would not be possible otherwise. Some of the emails that I exchanged today were with people across the country in Utah and on the other side of the planet in New Zealand, and it's just a fantastic opportunity that we have to learn together. So tonight's podcast is a rebroadcast of a presentation that I actually gave several weeks ago in El Paso, Texas, and I had an opportunity to speak at what was called a Rethink event hosted by Apple Computer. And I was talking about digital curriculum options and really challenging the teachers and administrators who were present to think about the amazing breadth and depth of digital curriculum that we have available today, but the need, I think, that we still have for actual commercial curriculum products. And one of the neat things about being an Apple Distinguished Educator is an opportunity to attend events like this and also have a chance to work with some of the best software that is out there, because my session was specifically focused on digital curriculum and the curriculum that's bundled in some of the Apple Digital Learning Solution bundles. So I do want to remind you that if you're interested in any of the links to the curriculum software titles that I mentioned in this podcast, I will include links to those in the podcast show notes, as well as some of the freeware and shareware programs, open source programs, that I mentioned initially. If you'd like to learn more, I would encourage you to visit my blog and leave any feedback that you may have there, and you can find that online at www.speedofcreativity.org. Without further ado, here is the presentation from May 3rd, 2006 in El Paso, Texas. Good morning. It is a pleasure to be here with you in warm El Paso. My name is Wes Fryer, and I am currently at the College of Education at Texas Tech University, actively job hunting incidentally, as I finish my degree. We're not sure where we're going to go, but our house is on the market, and something exciting is sure to come about. Before we get into our presentation today, I want to tell you that I am podcasting this, so I have a $30 microphone from Radio Shack on my iPod, and I will include on my blog all of the links that I will be talking about today, and really the only website that you'll need as far as getting to this is my blog, which is www.speedofcreativity.org. And if you haven't tapped in to what people are calling the edgy blogosphere, you need to do that. You need to join the conversations that are going on, because the things that are being shared by teachers and administrators and real people like you and me is the best professional development that I've ever experienced in my short career as a teacher. You do need to know, I think, I was a fourth grade teacher. I love teaching. I love to have an opportunity to work with children, to work with adults. And so it's just a really real joy to be here and get to share with you. So to try to keep us on a semblance of a schedule, I'm going to try and stick with 45 minutes and wrap up by 11. And I think if we look at our schedule, we have another breakout after this. Marco is in here next. So I'm going to try to just go 45 minutes instead of an hour. And I'll just start with a few slides. The formal title today is Apple's Mobile Learning Labs and Apple Digital Learning Series. And we have, and I'll pass these around to tables. You can check these out.
books that come with every Apple Mobile Lab. You've got a lot of different options and a lot of different possibilities when it comes to hardware and when it comes to curriculum. But today, we're really going to talk about two questions. Why commercial curriculum and which ones are great? There are a lot of tremendously wonderful free resources out there. And if I had time, I would play with Google Earth along with you. Have you done that? Unbelievable. The stuff that you can get, how we can track avian bird flu, we can look at every meteorite that's ever hit planet Earth, and I can find out where they are relative to my house. Just amazing, amazing things. But have you heard about this? The $100 laptop project?
Yes.
Laptop.org. MIT Media Lab. This is very exciting. Okay, the idea that we are moving to a day where a laptop is going to be available to each and every learner on the planet. And you know what it's going to look like? Probably this. The cell phone is going to be the laptop very quickly. I had a conversation with my own children who, you saw in my background here, this is about a year old, but I have an 8-year-old in second grade, I have a kindergartner who's 5, and I have a 2.5-year-old who is really a handful. And I was talking to my 2 older children, and I was talking to them about fighting bad things. There's bad stuff that's happening in the world. There always has been. But in the past, we used swords, and we used guns, and we still do use those things today. But increasingly, we are going to fight for the good with this. We're going to fight with our words, with our language, and with our networks that we connect with. And we are going to make a huge difference in this world. Educators do, and students want to be engaged in that. But here's a question, all right? Is free digital curriculum all you need? Well, if you've heard Nicholas Negroponte talk about the $100 laptop, they talk about resources like Wikipedia, resources like Google. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but I will link these in the podcast show notes. But Google is phenomenal. We're going to have a conversation today about immigration. So it's been in the news, right? We need to talk about relevant issues. Immigration, how many hits do we have in Google right now? 397 million? Whoa, okay. There's a lot of good stuff out there, but there's a lot of stuff. Okay, so I have Google. I also have something called the Wikipedia, written in tons of languages, more than 10 times bigger than the entire Encyclopedia Britannica or whatever you're going to look at, written by the world. But is that all I need? We also have this website you've got to know about. It's called Global Voices Online. It's a project out of Harvard. Okay? And today, after I give you a few initial slides, I'm going to ask you to think about issues raised by the recent immigration protests. Okay? What are some words that have come to mind? What are some issues? And we do not want our students or ourselves to just go to Ted Turner CNN today to find out what people are saying. Because you know what the media will tell you people are saying? Have you read Amusing Ourselves to Death by Neil Postman? Great book. Postman is deceased. But media has a different slant on things when they're presenting voices. So let's click on Mexico and see what bloggers in Mexico are saying. And here we go with the boycott from both sides of the border. All these different voices. Okay? So, phenomenal resource. Is that blocked in your district? Go find out. If it is, you need to have a conversation with your administrator or with whoever it is that you're working with to talk about why we need to be engaged in this. All right, but my question that I started out with was, is that enough? Okay, it's phenomenal. Very exciting that we have these kinds of tools. Can free digital curriculum be good? It can. Okay, I didn't put this up there, but can it be bad? Can we learn the wrong thing? Can we reinforce negative stereotypes? Can we endanger ourselves online? Absolutely. Here's another question. Is free digital curriculum all we need? How many of you are classroom teachers that are here? Okay. How many of you are elementary people, administrators, work with elementary? How many are middle school, junior high? How many are secondary, high school? Okay. Others. We have librarians and others. The others. Okay. Lots of others are here today. Okay. My answer to this today is no. Free digital curriculum is not all we need. And so I'm going to ask you two questions and ask you to think about the intersection between the answers. What do you and your students want to do in school? And what do you have to do in school? Think about that. And if we had more time, that'd be a great brainstorm. That's a great staff development activity. If you want to take an activity that's very authentic back to your campuses, do that activity. And then I want you to think about the answers. And it would be better to get those answers from you and share those. We're going to do an inspiration brainstorm here in a second. But some of the things we have to do is we have to teach the standards. We have to. We're required to. We have to assess kids. But of course, what teacher does not want to assess learning if they're a real teacher? No one does. Yeah, the thing is, we need more formative assessment, non-formative assessment. We're really big into summative assessment, but we have to assess. We have to prepare kids. Well, I would say there are several things that we should want to do, and the curriculum solutions I'm going to share with you today will help you do this. We talk about engagement. And you heard Maria talk about Mark Prinsky and his big thing about engage me or enrage me. How many kids are mad? Why do kids drop out of school? Generally because they're bored. They're not engaged. But we don't just need to engage them in mindless activities. We need to engage them, I think, in conversations. Because what changes your ideas or my ideas or your neighbor's ideas? I contend it's the conversation that you have together that can change your ideas about things. We need kids to be involved in complex stuff. Have any of you played Lego Star Wars on the GameCube? I can raise my hand because about 2 weeks ago we bought that. We got a few timid hands going up, guys. I mean, the game, okay, we got more folks here that have played those than I. My eight-year-old and I have
played it, I watched.
Okay. It's okay to play some of these games. Now, I'm not going to ask for, you know, some kind of games. There's a lot of games that we can object to. But the point is, gaming today is very complex. Kids love that. They want to be immersed in complex situations. And life is complex. Life is not simple. Is immigration policy in the U.S. today a simple thing? Does it have a single answer? Is there one voice that we need to hear and that's it? We've heard it all? Absolutely not. And we also need to be about messy assessment. Not just assessing the things that are neat and clean and bubbling, you know, able we can bubble in, but the things that take more time. You'll hear Marco talk in the next session, I'm sure, about how the creation of digital tools can help kids create a portfolio that authentically represents who they are and what they can do. Stuff they can't fake. So, here's my question, and here's our goal. We want to go for the intersection today. The intersection between what we have to do and what we want to do and need to do. Because those are not always the same thing. We have got to prepare kids for the future. We cannot let these kids fall through the cracks and drop out of school. And do you know that we really don't have an educational excellence problem in America? We have a problem with poverty. Dr. David Berliner, who's from Arizona State University, spoke to us last week at the College of Education, and he disaggregated the data. Okay? All rich kids beat up on rich white kids from Finland and Denmark and all these countries all the time. When you disaggregate the data, you see the poverty problem that we have in our country and the fact that we have high-performing campuses and high-performing schools. But that's something people don't want to talk about, and I'm not going to focus on it today. But here's where I want to go with this. We want to make what we want to do and need to do align with what we have to do, and these tools can help. So, Apple Mobile Learning Labs. We have three different wireless labs in our College of Education that faculty can check out. Unfortunately, we have a belief that a lot of adults seem to have that we just need the device. I think Marco was talking about LA Unified and a decision they're trying to make, actually telling Apple, take iLife off your laptops. Just give us the box. That's all we want. Give me a break. If what you think, if your idea of education is a transmission-based model where all kids need to do is receive and not create, then maybe that works. But for folks that are here today, I hope that you have as part of your vision, or you will have as part of your vision of education, that we need kids to create and write the web, not just read the web. So these solutions are not only outstanding because they work, they don't get sick with viruses, they're flexible, they're powerful, they come equipped with all this awesome software out of the box, you don't have to buy extra, but they're also wonderful because they work in schools. I work with Floyd Ada ISD and Post ISD that are outside of Lubbock that are part of our TIP collaboration, and we've had outstanding results with the TIP project, which is the Texas Immersion Pilot Project. But here's what I'm going to focus on today, and it is the curriculum that you can get with it. Because I think all of us could understand this, the teacher coming into the classroom does not want to just be handed the piece of chalk and the eraser. Here's all you need. Go teach. Wait a minute. I need some curriculum. Okay, there's the library. Well, a creative master teacher, an expert, is going to be able to work in that kind of environment. But what are most of our teachers today, especially those entering the profession? They are novice. You cannot tell a novice when they ask a question about what you do. It's like driving. How many of you taught a teenager to drive? Okay, taught them to shift. When they ask, when do I shift to second gear? Well, it depends. Although for a novice, you can't say that. 22 miles an hour. Okay, that's what David Berlin said he taught his daughter when she was learning to drive. We need curriculum, and we need help doing those things we have to do, which is assess and teach the standards, as well as the things we want to do, which is engage kids and get them creating content. So we've got a variety of different options here with the digital learning software. The most important thing to take away from this slide is price. If you go out and try on your own to just buy NetTracker and to just buy Explore Learning gizmos and to just buy ProScope, which I'm going to demo, you're going to spend a lot of money. Now, you're still going to spend money, obviously, when you buy something like this, but the bundle of packages that you get and the break in price is huge. And do this yourself. Go compare. Just talk to these vendors when you look at all the things that you get on one of these solutions, and you're going to see that there's a big difference in how much you're going to pay if you're just out there negotiating on your own. So, I get that. Three more slides, and then I want to play. You've got more reason than ever, I think, to go with Apple. It's like, what's the limitation? What do you want to do? We can do it. You can do this on the Apple platform. And so these are broken down into these different components: elementary tools, secondary tools, math tools for elementary and secondary, earth science, life science, and a digital media creation kit. And so what I'll do now in the next 35 minutes is basically play and let's explore. All right, we're going to go into these tools and look at them, see what they can do, and think about how our students, if they're given these tools, can be engaged and can be really excited about learning. And not just learning for the test. I had a conversation with my wife about summer school. Do any of you do year-round school? Is anybody involved in year-round school? One of the things that people say about summer as far as student learning is what? Why is summer a bad thing from a teacher's perspective? Kids forget it. Too long. They don't learn. Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, if they forget it in a couple months, they never had it. And we want kids to have it, not just for 2 months or 3 months, but to have it for life. And so we need tools that can help us get kids to that level of engagement. Okay. Let's talk about... First, let Wes see if he can log in. I did a Google search a minute ago... For this may show me my search, but not. Does anybody have a NetTracker login?
T-M-A-N-O-R.
Thank you. I switched laptops from what I was doing yesterday. We did a Google search for immigration, right? And we had what? A goodness knows how, you know, in huge hit list. Okay. How many of you use NetTracker? Do some of you use it now? Okay. Wow, that's like half. What do you think? It's a great tool. I have 431 hits now on the topic of immigration. This is one of the things bundled with both the elementary tools and the secondary tools. I have little icons showing me if I have maps, if it's in English or if it's in Spanish, if it's in both, if I've got videos that are available, if I've got images. Let me click here on maps and charts. Okay, I'm interested in looking at U.S. immigration policy. Let's click on the first link. Look at that. Great. Now, I'm going to talk to you today about some wonderful tools, of course, that help your students create these sorts of graphs. But the point is, free curriculum is not enough. Google can be a great thing, but it also has everything on it, objectionable and non-objectionable. NetTracker DI, which stands for Differentiated Instruction, breaks it down, whether you want secondary, if you want elementary, and it really allows you to tap the power of the web in a limited amount of time. And I believe time is the most valuable resource. I can't say people are the most valuable resources, but one of the most valuable resources in our classrooms is time. We just don't have enough of it. So, NetTracker is part of some of these bundles, and it's a wonderful, wonderful resource. But let's look at another solution called Inspiration. How many of you use Inspiration? All right, see a lot of the same hands, so I may be preaching to some of the crowd here. What do y'all think of Inspiration, if you've used it? We know that kids can be visual learners. Not everyone is an auditory learner. And so Inspiration is a tool that allows us to create content that is both textual and is visual. And so I want to do an activity with you, and I want you to talk with the people in your group. I'm going to give you, still have my stopwatch, I'm going to give you about 60 seconds. I want you to appoint a secretary at your table. You all can break into two groups if you want. I want somebody to write down as many words as you can that relate to immigration and stuff we've been hearing about in the news. Okay? You have 60 seconds. Go. Immigration. Okay, stop. We're going to go around the room. Inspiration is a mind mapping program. I've opened up the diagram view. I've put my word, immigration. I'm going to click on the rapid fire button, and we're going to go around the tables. We'll start here. We'll go around. I want one thing from your table, and I'm just going to type kind of as quickly as I can. If I misspell, that'll be okay, because my purpose here is not to spell everything right. It's to get my ideas up on the board. We need to teach kids about purpose, because we have different purposes for writing, and you know, if I'm going to formally publish this, I will spell check it, but I'm not right now. Okay, so let's start here. Just one word. Okay, amnesty. Okay, back here. Countries. Middle table.
Economy.
Back corner.
Legal and illegal. Sorry.
That's all right. Okay, this table.
Politics.
Politics. This table.
Employment.
Employment. Middle table.
Boycott.
Back table here.
La migra.
La migra. I'm going to learn some vocabulary today, I can see. Well, that one is. Again?
Economy.
We already have economy? Back one. I'm sorry? Nope. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Poverty.
Oops. I'll have to fix that later.
Walk out.
Got it?
Coyotes.
Coyotes. I know what that's coyotes.
Generations.
Income.
Oops. Oh, that's right. I was trying to. Middle.
Mall.
Okay. That table?
Desert.
Okay. Holy cow. Can we still keep going?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to stop us. Whoa, look at that. Do we have some schema for this? Do we have some background knowledge, some ideas about this? We've heard about this. Would this be a good thing to teach in school today? Absolutely. And would a tool like this help us do it? Of course. Okay? I can go to my outline view and see all of these different things. Okay? And I can start to organize this. So what might be a category that we're not going to do this whole activity, but what might be a category that I could organize some of these under?
Policy.
Okay, policy. Okay, amnesty would fit under policies, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I can drag it over there. What else would go under policies? Politics, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Employment.
Let's see, where's employment? You get the idea.
Yeah.
All right? Fantastic tool. Great thing to use for whole group. Wonderful thing to use for small group. Why? Because it helps me represent my ideas in powerful ways. Of course, I can color these things. I can add graphics to them. I can do all kinds of things. And I can export this in many different ways, to put it on the web, to save it as text. I can immediately export this and bring it right into PowerPoint and have all my PowerPoint slides set, where then I put additional content, I put images, and so on. Okay? Included in some of the bundles. This is inspiration, a wonderful tool. Well, let's look at another tool. We said the word was immigration. How many of you are familiar with Visual Thesaurus? Another tool included. A very neat tool for exploring the connections between words. So, that word, immigration, for you, brought up a lot of different ideas. That's the schema that you have for immigration. Let's put in the word immigration and see what the Visual Thesaurus says. Okay? The Visual Thesaurus, and by the way, this is I'm using built-in accessibility tools in Mac OS X that just let me zoom in and zoom out. Is this important when I'm teaching? It's huge because almost every presentation you see will include text that is too small for the person in the back of the room. These tools are just built in. You don't pay anything extra for these. They're there. Okay? So immigration. I may have to actually turn this off because of how these pop-ups are coming. The body of immigrants arriving during a specified interval, the increased immigration. I can click here.
Immigration.
Hear the words spoken. And I can start exploring other ideas. Here's a word that you didn't say, but I really thought this word when I got an email from one of my relatives this week who was including all these quotes from supposed, and they probably are, I'm sure a lot of them are valid, Hispanic and other leaders talking about taking over Texas and the West and white people just need to die and all this stuff. And it's saying, forward this to everyone you can. And I'm thinking, what is your purpose? Your purpose is probably to, you know, perpetuate fear and stereotypes and something we call ethnocentrism. So let me look up ethnocentrism. This is an important word for your students to know about, right? Why? Because it's rampant. And when you look at the media and you look at the press and you see Iran and people in Denmark, you know, pelting the embassy with stones, I guarantee you that image does not represent the Arab world in totality. There are all kinds of voices that we need to hear. So we can explore ethnocentrism. Partisanship is related to that. So let's click on partisanship. Well, what the heck is partisanship? An inclination to favor one group or view or opinion over alternatives. Partiality. What's partiality? Well, it can be fondness, fancy, impartiality, or partiality. See what I can do with this? I can explore. And your kids can explore. And you can help develop schema. And you can engage in conversation about issues that matter, which is something we're building vocabulary. Absolutely. You list the standards. There's all kinds of standards we can do, all right, with a tool like this. Visual Thesaurus.
Wes,
yes.
You also mentioned that it also has a Spanish option. So you could actually see the translation of this word in Spanish. And then we get back to you.
Awesome. Okay, cool stuff. So, NetTracker is a great tool that we can utilize to leverage the tools of the web. We've looked at Inspiration. We talked about graphs. Let's go to a tool called the Graph Club, which is in the elementary bundle. And we've now woken up our front row group. I apologize. There are lots of ways to graph. Okay? We can certainly graph with Excel. And it amazes me how parents in West Texas have gotten really excited sometimes when there's a news article saying the kindergartners are using Excel and they're graphing. Well, it might be great if those kids understand what they're doing and if they can talk about it and if the learning is authentic. But if all we're doing is saying, let's graph with Excel, and we're turning in something that looks like, you know, identical to what my neighbor did, I wouldn't say that's very authentic learning. Here's what the Graph Club lets you do. It lets you create graphs. There are tutorials. You can open up templates. But let's just create a graph, and we can do whatever we want. I'll click up here at the top, and we decide, you know, how many things we want to graph. So let's actually do a pet graph, since that's here and it's quick. But we could do anything. We could do, you know, who's... Marco, how many U.S. citizens did you say have a passport in on average?
Less than 10%.
Less than 10% of U.S. citizens have a passport. It'd be very interesting to talk about travel. And how many of us have been to Mexico? How many of us have been to Central America, been to Europe? We could do any kind of thing. But let's just do a pet graph, because that's going to be, you know, fairly easy. I can represent this in various ways, but I'm going to start here. How many of you have a dog? Raise your hand. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Thank you. Okay, 18. Oh, what do I have to do? I got to change my scale here. So what should my maximum value be? If 18, okay. For now, it's going to be 20, because that will allow me to capture 18, which is the number of dogs that we have. Okay, cats. How many have a cat? So raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Wow, okay, so we got a group of dog lovers. I actually need to increase this to 19. I have two dogs. Does that count? I didn't say that, did I? Do you have a dog? You get the idea, okay? I can represent this multiple ways. I'm not going to take time to survey. I doubt we have very many rabbits. Does anybody actually have a bird? Okay, cool. You have a zoo. Fish? Many fish? More fish than, okay, fish. How about lizards? Anybody have a chameleon, a snake? Yeah, a little reptile. We'll open it up. Reptile. Oh, we got three reptiles. Okay, so how do I represent my ideas? Well, let's do a pie chart. Just click on pie. Let's do that bar chart. Pictograph. Okay, let's look at a table. Let's look at a line graph. All these things that I can do and represent, and I can print. Okay, very powerful. Very cool. Your kids will be, I would guarantee you, in elementary school, more excited to graph in an environment like this than they will in Excel or even a free open source tool that you get with OpenOffice or something else. Wonderful tool called the Graph Club. Is it in Spanish? That's a great question. Marco, yes it is. Look at that. How cool. Okay, we just go under options, English or Spanish. Any other questions or comments about the Graph Club?
Is this part of the bundle?
Yes, I'm pretty sure this is part, and I'll share with the website with you that mm-hmm. lists all the what's included, but this is part, I know, of the elementary bundle, the first bundle. All right? Cool tools. I'm saying this is a fun session because what we get to do is play. Let's do the ProScope. Any of you have a ProScope or have you used the ProScope before? Anybody want to share what kids think about the ProScope, or what teachers think about it, or?
The ones that I've seen that they love, because you can put the ProScope in very interesting places.
We won't ask them to elaborate further. Now this is going to turn the dial here to focus.
Are those bugs?
They may be. I want to take a picture. I can click snapshot, or there's a little button right here. And I can go ahead and capture that. Okay? Let's get my shirt.
They love the tongue.
I don't think... That may be gross. Is it you can get the prosto and do the tongue.
How about the ear canal?
The ear canal, yes. I'm sure we can be creative. What kind of a philosophy of learning can I encourage and empower my students with when I have a tool like this?
Exploration.
An exploration model of learning. A tool that says, here, this is an extremely powerful tool. By the way, could I make bad choices with this?
Oh, yeah.
Can I make bad choices with any tool? I mean, why can I not take a screwdriver onto an aircraft? Because some people have made bad choices with screwdrivers they've taken on aircraft. Okay? Any tool can be abused, and just about any tool can be used well. We can probably think of some maybe that could, but in general, most tools can be used well for it. Okay, so I can actually go out, collect data, collect images, I can put in my hand. I can put these images into a slideshow, put them into a PowerPoint.
Ring.
A coin. What is this little? What does that little letter mean there? Coin.
Part of the
It's the symbol. The ProScope. Again, if you just go out and buy a bunch of ProScope and want to buy this other software, you'll spend a lot more money and you won't get the value that you'll get if you look at a bundle. Okay? Let's see. I have been showing you both web-based and hard drive-based tools. Let me show you another web-based tool. This is Explore Learning Gizmos. Have any of you used Explore Learning Gizmos before? Probably the coolest web-based tool I have seen, period. This is for middle school and high school, a lot of math and science. I just registered for a free 30-day demo on this, so I know my password will work. At least it did just short meal a few minutes ago. There are all kinds of things that I can do with this tool. Okay. This is leveraging the power of the web. Flash, Shockwave, all these technologies. I can do amazing things with kids. Whole class instruction, letting kids explore things. And I've only begun, really, to explore these. Let's go to mouse breeding. Would this be something that students might be interested in? Well, do students need to know about genetics? Do they need to know about dominant and recessive genes? Is anybody here prepared to give a lecture on that? I will actually admit to you, I'm not. Okay, I love science, but I am not crystal on all the intricacies of how. I mean, here's what confuses me. I thought blonde was recessive. What's up with this? This is my family. Where are the dark-headed children? Well, they're not here, and they're probably not gonna arrive. What happens if we breed a red-eyed rat with a black-eyed rat? Okay. Show me the genomes and show me the statistics, okay? So I can see what's dominant and what's not. Well, when I breed, what am I going to get? I'm going to get a lot of dominant. When are those recessive characteristics or traits going to show up? Well, let's drag these down to the holding cage, okay? And let's clear this out, and let's breed these. Now, this is a virtual activity. Could we be doing this for real? With large numbers of students?
Good.
We could. Okay. We could. But we can probably think of a lot of issues and problems and things that are going to happen that are going to prevent us from this type of high-level investigation. Any predictions of what's going to happen now when I breed two of the progeny or two of the equals of my original parent? Anybody want to predict? One.
Retardation.
I didn't get any. Okay? Let's try it again. Oh, can't be alone. Not getting any reds yet. You can see Wes is not a very good mouse reader.
Maybe you read the wrong one.
You think so?
Maybe it's too boring.
There are some boundaries to the program which are built in and do prohibit certain kinds of exploration and combination. Okay, maybe this is going to be better. So here's the dominant. Here's the black rat. We're not getting any white rat. Let's try this again. Okay. But what am I doing right now? I'm exploring. I'm trying. I've got a hypothesis. I'm thinking. Oh my gosh, what did we get? We got a recessive white rat. And like I said, I'm admitting to you, I really believe in honesty, okay, authenticity. I am not an expert on genetics. But I can see that this is an amazing tool that could allow me as a classroom teacher to take my kids much further and probably with authentic learning that's going to stick with them to a much greater degree than I could if all I was doing was looking at the textbook, looking at the charts and graphs that somebody else made, and that was, you know, what I was going to take a multiple choice test on. Okay? Let me show you one other tool. This is, I think, math. Let's see, I think it may be in high school. Oh, wait a minute. Did I do science? I'm looking for correlation. Well, let me show you. There's different ways to explore this. I can click Browse Gizmos, and I can do this by standards. Okay, we live in Texas. We've got Texas standards, so let's go look at Texas standards. What do we teach? Let's see. I'm a high school pre-calculus teacher. What do we have? Well, introduction to functions, polynomials, and linear factors. I'm looking for something on correlation. Was it there? I can also do a word search. Let's go back. I'm looking for line of best fit. I'm pretty sure it was in high school, going too fast. You can prepare this like you want. So if I'm going to use a particular gizmo, which might be been a better idea for today's plan, I can create a page just for my first period class, and it can include the gizmos I'm going to use. When I want my kids to come into this, I write on the chalkboard or the whiteboard a key code, and then the kids put that key code in, and they join my class. So here it is. Correlation, problems and statistics. Gosh, I've taken some statistics in college. And I'm glad I don't teach statistics, because my understanding of statistics right now, I would say, is okay, but I don't feel like I'm an expert. What about line of best fit? Okay? How do we determine the line of best fit for a set of data points? Well, why is this important? Well, as a statistician, I know it's important because we want to know if the variation in this phenomena is random, or if there seems to be a correlation. That's not causality, but if there seems to be a correlation. Well, this kind of a tool will allow you to get the line of best fit and to work with that. And here at the bottom, you have, for every one of the gizmos, five different multiple choice, or four in this case, multiple choice questions that the students are going to answer after they have interacted and worked with that gizmo. They put that key code into the program after they log in. You as a teacher immediately get the feedback. Does this help you with assessment? Absolutely. It helps show who's getting it and who's not. And it's providing a very powerful environment for students to explore concepts that are right in the curriculum guide. Okay? So, I really love that. You comment? Yes?
Well, I have a question.
Okay?
Now, are you saying that things like this one or next step are included in students' learning
packages? Right. Let me bring up that website.
Now, is that on a, like on Gizmos, is that a contract basis per year? Or?
The way that it works is that this is set up thinking about your students using a mobile cart. So the ones that are web-based or ASP delivered are going to work for over 100 different students. It depends on the tool. But basically, here's the thing. Subscription-based products include licenses for up to 160 users. Software, like Inspiration that we're seeing, is up to 32 computers. So basically all the laptops that are on that cart are going to be able to do, you know, these kind of tools. And when you have multiple kids, for how long?
Subscriptions 1 year.
Subscriptions 1 year for those subscription-based tools. For our TIP campuses that went with Apple, they negotiated for a similar package, but it was for every student. So this is based on the idea of a mobile lab that you're able to move in, and even if you've got multiple classes that you're teaching during the day, those students are all going to be able to log into Gizmos, interact, you know, fill out the assessments, and you'll get that feedback as the teacher. So yearly, do you want to make another comment about that?
Yeah, you have the site up there, so if you go further, if you want to drill down even further, for an interesting individual needing room, you can go to the site and they'll tell you more details.
Right. So you can see, yeah, they vary. But the point is, experts in curriculum at Apple have gone out, looked at these tools, seen what's available, and negotiated on our behalf to get a better price point when everything is put together. So this is under Education Solutions, and it's called ADLS. Good question. All right. Let me show you Frog Guts, and then we may be out of time. Any of you use Frog Guts?
Heard of it.
Okay. Well, I think we turned our volume down. What kinds of dissections do your students do now for real? Pigs? Okay. What else? Anybody else?
Earthworms.
Owl frogs.
In fourth grade, we did owl pellets. You know what I think one of the nastiest parts of getting ready for the owl pellet deal is, if you don't buy your owl pellets, as we didn't, because we went out to a barn outside Lubbock and found them, is preparing them, because you have to, like, put them in a smoker and a barbecue grill. You have to kill everything that's in it. It's nasty. Okay. But is that a good activity for students?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's phenomenal. I remember dissecting the frog in middle school, and if you did, or you dissected a fetal pig, I bet you remember that. That was a real experience that you had. So I'm not going to say that we just need kids to be in virtual environments. No, we need students to be in real environments. But does everybody have enough money to buy a fetal pig for every student? And let me ask this too, do you have enough money to also let them do it again if they mess up? Okay? If they messed up on their frog, do you have enough frogs so that you're going to be able to, you know. Okay, so this is Frog Guts, and it's going to take us through a variety of different
breeds that are. This specimen is the common bullfrog, also known by the scientific name Ronacat caspiana.
It's going to take us through a few different things before we get to actually interact with our frog and cut it up.
Let the bear three. This frog eye has a third eye. Find and you might refer to the external nerves as nostrils.
And once we get into the dissection, we're going to actually be peeling back the skin. Yes.
Go ahead.
Turn.
It can also spin fast due to the web.
No, this is part of the application. Just read this. Right.
There is an orifice at which the frog during and feces both eggs appear, and depending on the sex of the frog, this makes male gopherlugs generally have a larger thumb used for grasping a female's back. Males also have larger tympanums than females.
Tell me to go. Okay. Let me summarize by going back to my presentation and just leaving you with a couple thoughts. We've never had a more exciting opportunity to engage kids and get them excited about learning than we have today. The tools that are available, the curriculum that's available, the resources that are available are phenomenal. However, we also have a lie being perpetuated in public policy today, which says it's all about the curriculum. The curriculum is what makes the difference. And I'm here to tell you, as a teacher, that the teacher makes the difference. I would take a good teacher every day of the week over the most phenomenal lab and the most phenomenal set of resources, because a great teacher can probably teach English or Spanish or whatever using a phone book and a pencil or a slate and get kids engaged and excited. But not every teacher is going to be able to do that. And even the good teachers need good tools, and they deserve good tools. There is wonderful curriculum that is out there for you to access that is free, and you need to explore that. But I really think you need to look critically at why would we want commercial curriculum when this free stuff is there? And the answer is because there is stuff we have to do as well as the things we want to do and need to do. And we have got to assess and we have got to measure, and these tools can really powerfully enable your teachers to do that. So go back to that story of my kids and thinking about the laptop and preparing them for the future. You want, I think, as an administrator, to hand your teachers powerful tools so they can do powerful and amazing things with kids, to prepare them for their future, not our past, and to engage them in conversations that really transform them. They walk away transformed. And so Marco is going to come speak to us now about that topic, using digital tools. And
thank you, Wes. So this is a
Creativity podcasts are independently produced and syndicated for a global audience by Wesley Fryer and are shared under a Creative Commons Attribution 2.5 license. Learn more at www.speedofcreativity.org.